probably not going to be one of those giddy up and go and make you shout and jump up and down type messages. It's something that I learned years ago, and I've grown into this throughout life. How many of you know you don't get it all at one time sometimes? You have to grow and learn and develop and understand. Like I've always said, when you do anything on a computer, if you don't hit that apply button down at the bottom, I don't know how many of you have ever lost anything on a computer after you've done work and you didn't hit that apply button, or you didn't hit the enter button or whatever it was, and all of a sudden you didn't save it and everything that you had worked on sort of kind of went away, and all your hard work and all your hard effort went away. And anything that I say tonight will not work unless we hit the apply button. When I think about Wednesday nights, I think about my people, the people that's here, and most of the time, people that are listening to the messages on Wednesday night are people that I need to sit down with, and people can teach me stuff. I went to the doctor this afternoon, and I had a post-op follow-up. And so the doctor I went to, he should have been a theologian and majored in apologetics. I heard a whole lot more about theology and apologetics than I actually did about having my appendix taken out. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but we left there on good terms. He said, I don't need to see you no more. Just don't pick nothing up for a month. I said, I can do that. And so we left on good terms. But there's a lot of stuff in the Bible I don't know. There's a lot of things in the Bible that we think we know, but when you study the Bible, it brings it into a whole different perspective. A lot of things. He said, well, where did the giants come from after the flood? I thought, well, where did they come from? Because it's only knowing it. Charlie, that's a breakfast discussion. But you know, stuff like that is you know, the stuff that we dealt with today. What I'm going to deal with tonight, again, is not one of those things that you're going to jump up and down and shout about. But I think it is so necessary. And I think Bobby kindly set the foundation for this, and Brother Steve and different ones that's ministered over the last couple of weeks, but it's something that was already in my heart. So I want to read some scripture to you, then we're going to pray over these prayer requests and pray over this message tonight. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Leviticus, Old Testament. We got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. So turn there to Leviticus in chapter number 20. And somebody might even say already, well, there he goes with this law stuff again. Well, this is foundational truths. And as I begin to, when I begin to think about this, I want you to try to somehow imagine with me God talking to his people. God talking to his people. This is going to piggyback on where I was at Sunday morning in the message that I preached. I'm firm in what I believe. You're firm in what you believe. I don't want to get dogmatic as it comes to traditional things that are not supported by Scripture. And we do these traditional things just because it's always been done that way, and we just keep on doing it that way because that's the way we've always done it. If you're going to grow in your life, if you're going to grow in a church, change is inevitable. Most of the time, people buck change. They don't want change. But sometimes change is necessary to get you from where you're at to where God is trying to take you. But there again, I believe there is a biblical standard of righteousness. And I'm, as we've said before, I'm concerned that when we've loosened up, if I can use that word a little bit, we threw the pendulum plumb to the other end, and it seems like now that there's nothing wrong. And it's a dangerous thing. So I said that to say this. Let me just read this and pray, and then I'll get into the message. So in the book of Leviticus chapter 20, I actually want to just read verse 6 down through verse number 8, if you will. Follow along with me. And the Bible says, "And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, and after wizards, to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people." Now, if you go back into the first part of this, he is actually talking about adults, parents, those that sacrifice themselves and sacrifice their children to Moloch. One of the sacrificial offerings that was received of Moloch was the sacrifice of children. They would actually throw their children into the fire as a sacrifice to this deity known as Moloch. And I began to think about that in our society today and everything that is going on in our society today. And it seems like we may not be sacrificing our children to Moloch, but yet in the same regards, it's almost as if we're sacrificing America to the wizards and to the spirit that is eating up our society today. I talked to a young man yesterday in English and broken English, and we talked and we chit-chatted. And Charlie knows who I'm talking about. He's from El Salvador. And that's all I'm going to tell you about him. He's from El Salvador. And he and I was chit-chatting. And he says, "America is the strongest nation of the world. The world fears," Robert, you'll get this. He said, "The world fears America." The little countries in Central America and different places have absolutely no defense against America. So this young man from El Salvador says to me, "So what do they do?" He said, "This open border is not about getting people into the country." He said, "It's about getting the people into the country with drugs, Jason, the fentanyl, and anything else that they get in, the hordes and hordes and loads and loads and loads of cocaine and everything that comes into the border." This young man told me, he said, "It's not about that. Nobody can defeat America militarily, but they can open the border, let the people in, and they can kill them from the inside like a cancer out." He said, "And oftentimes we don't even realize that the devil's got a plan to kill, to steal, and to destroy." We know that from John 10:10. So that's what this scripture is based on. And God is telling his people here in the scripture in verse number 6. God says in the latter part of this verse, he said, "I will cut him off." Now that's God speaking. God is a just God. God's a good God. God's a loving God. God is love. But yet God is just in his nature against sin. I don't know how long it's been since you've realized this, but sin is still wrong. Romans chapter number 6, I believe it is, or Romans chapter right along through there. I don't think it's chapter 6, but he says here in the scripture, he talks about grace. And the scripture there says, "May we sin that grace may abound." And Paul had to come and adjust and fix the era of their thinking, because at that time in Rome, they thought the more that they sinned, the more grace they would get. And don't misunderstand the preacher. Because in today's society, it seems like that there's absolutely no standard for righteousness anywhere. But I read in the Word of God where the Bible says, I am the Lord thy God and I change not. If you see God saying this in verse number 6 of Leviticus chapter 20, guess what? God still has a standard today. The next verse, verse number 7, says these words, and he says this in the scripture. He says, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Let me move on. And you shall keep my statutes and do them, and I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. So stretch your hand this way and pray for these needs tonight as well. Father, we do love you tonight. We do praise you. We thank you, Father God, for your anointing. We thank you, God, for the touch of God that is on our life. Father, I pray, God, tonight that, God, that you would touch us, that, God, that you would help us, that, God, that we would understand the Scripture and we would rightly divide the Word of God. Father, I pray, God, this evening that you would touch us and help us, God, as we look at the Word and and we apply the Word of God to our lives. Father, I pray, God, for these needs that was mentioned, all these needs mentioned in the sanctuary. Father, touch Camilla tonight, God. Touch Sister Claver tonight. Touch Shelba tonight, Father. Father, touch this one that Sister Betty knows, and a family member of Hull, Father God. And Father, all around the room tonight, God, you see what's happening and you see the need of the hour. So, Father, I pray for this congregation that, God, that you'd help us, that, God, that you'd touch Dixie this evening and Janet this evening, God, and Brother Russell this evening, God. These that's been standing in need of prayer and all these needs upon our prayer page, that, God, that you'd bring healing to bodies this evening, God, and we'll be careful to give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Several days ago, I felt like the Lord laid this message on my heart. I don't know how most of you men are, but I know how I am. I typically have a place in my living room, especially over the last 2 weeks, that I sit. It's my place, and I've got my lamp, I got my books, I got my notes, and I sit there in the morning, and I do what I need to do, and sometimes throughout the afternoon. The other morning, the Lord just spoke something to my heart that I felt like was noteworthy. And God spoke to my heart and said, a set apart people. A people that is set apart. Now, I know that you and I, we've studied this and we know stuff like this. And we preached it for years. But God, in the Scripture, and this is sometimes, I feel like that people think in a holiness church and in a church like we have, a Pentecostal holiness church and a Church of God or Assembly or anywhere else that you may attend that preaches the whole gospel. People today, they feel like you're too dogmatic about the standard of holiness, or you're too dogmatic in your lifestyle, or anything that would be applied into that area. But yet when I begin to read this scripture, when I begin to look at these type of scripture, God intended, number one, as we look at this evening, God intended for His people to be sanctified. Now we'll go back and examine that and talk about that as we work through this message. So God is talking to the children of Israel. Now notice when I study, words just seemingly jump off the page at me. And I do know the Bible says in different places about the word sanctification. But right here in this scripture, when God was talking to the children of Israel, when you look at this scripture in verse number 7, this is what leaped off the page at me. He said in verse number 7, when you open that verse, He said, the Lord said to the children of Israel, He said, sanctify yourself. There are some things that God has given me enough sense to stay away from. If I know that there's a rattlesnake in the bush, God gave me enough sense not to go stick my hand in the bush to see if the snake will bite me. He will bite you. It is the nature of a rattlesnake to bite you. And any time that you and I think that we can flirt with temptation, any time that we feel like that we can flirt with the sins of this world and the consequences will change, my friend, we are doing nothing more than sticking our hand in the mouth of a rattlesnake just to see if that snake would bite. 100% guaranteed every time you put your hand in the mouth of a rattlesnake and he will bite you. 100% guaranteed every time if you do the things that God says for you and I not to do, 100% guaranteed, bar none, you and I will suffer the consequences of the wrongs that we do. And somewhere along the way, we have been accused. You know, it would be okay today to be called a holy roller. It would be okay today to be distinctively so much different from the world today that somebody would actually, Brother Dodd, notice that we're different. And that they would accuse us of being a holy roller. One of those southern boys, the Bible thumper, Bible belt. Jesus freak, I think I heard that somewhere. But here's the thing. The Bible says, as God talked to them, sanctify yourselves. Now watch this. There's some things that God is expecting you to do. Now don't get mad at the preacher. I mean, I ain't pinpointing nobody. I ain't got nobody in mind. I'm just preaching and telling you my life and what happened. Years ago, there was a lady. Her name was Alice Davis. I was but a kid with a can of Skoal in my back pocket. She said these words. She said in a service ministering one night, she said that this man made a deal with God. Listen, before I even go into that, you don't make deals with God. Thy word is forever settled in heaven. God don't manipulate. God don't change his word. But the congregation was simply this, or the situation was simply this. So she said, as she was preaching or talking about that, she said that this man made this deal with God. Said, God, here's the deal. Now I'm gonna put my cigarettes in my shirt pocket tonight, and I'm gonna take my shirt and I'm gonna hang my shirt over the end of the bed. And now, God, in the morning, if you want me not to be smoking them cigarettes, you take them cigarettes out of my coat pocket or my shirt pocket, and if they're gone in the morning, God, I'm gonna know that you don't want me to do that no more. He got up the next morning, and guess what? They were right there. And I said that to say this, that there are some things in your life that God expects you to do. And God is looking for a people that will glorify and magnify his name. Now, your convictions is your convictions, and what you do is up to you and God. I know what my convictions is. And I'm not here to preach my convictions. But I will share with you what I feel like that God is telling me tonight to talk to you about. A set-apart people are a people that has made a conscientious decision to be apart from the world and the world's system and become a part of the family and the kingdom of God. And I believe that there is a vast difference between those who choose to walk in darkness and those who choose to walk according to the course of this world. And again, when I begin to write that and think about it, the Bible says that we are no longer in darkness, that God has called us out of darkness, and God has called the church to not to walk according to the course of the world. And I believe that it's difficult, it's not difficult most of the time just to blend in and to become a part of the crowd. Let me say that again. It is not difficult to blend in and just become a part of the crowd. If you're going to serve God, I believe this with everything within my heart, that you're going to do it on purpose, intentional. I was thinking the other day about something I heard years ago, and I thought about it as I was working through messages and working on my stuff a few days ago. And there's another whole message for this at another time. But I do not, and I am not an advocate for once saved and always saved. I am not an advocate for unconditional eternal security. Once saved, always saved. I heard a story one time, and this guy was talking, and he was telling me about this other situation, and he said, I feel sorry for those people. I feel sorry for those people that at one time in their life they confessed Christ. And all of their life they lived a life away from Christ. I really feel sorry for them on the day that they die, when they end up in heaven and they didn't even want to go there. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You're not going to go to heaven that way, friend. Now, I know I'm preaching to the saints. I know that, but I still got to preach it. I'm online tonight, and by accident, somebody might find this video one day and get saved by it. So I got to preach what's in my heart tonight. And God is looking. God told these people, you need to get your heart right. You need to sanctify the Lord thy God in your heart. Sanctify yourself. I feel like I need to tell somebody today that you need to depart from sin. You need to depart from iniquity. You need to cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. You got one foot in the church and one foot in the world. You can't make up your mind what you're going to do. And God said, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you up out of... You make me sick on my stomach. I didn't say that. God said it. I'm just carrying the mail tonight. Don't get mad at the mailman when he brings you a bill. You made the bill, not the mailman. Sanctify God. Set apart God in your heart. I look at that as you making room for God. You making room for God in your heart. Today there's more children being sacrificed on the altar of Moloch than at any other time, if you look at it through the eyes of what is happening to our children today around the world. No time for God, no priority for God, no priority for God nor God's house. Now, I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor, and if anybody gets mad at me tonight, I guess you'll just have to get mad at me. But I think it's getting to the place that is pretty sad when you look at this in a church at any given time, and we're okay with that, we're comfortable with that, we're not comfortable with that. And for those of you online, God bless you tonight, but I'm pointing at empty pews. I'm not okay with that. We're in trouble, church. We're in trouble because we want to be so much like the world today that there's no distinctiveness between God and God's people and the world that we're living in. And they call us that we're holier than thou, that you stick your chest out, you puff your chest out like you're better than anybody else. My friend, me being better than anybody else is not my issue. I'm no better than nobody. But my friend, I do choose to live a life separated unto God, sanctified, set apart, made usable for the Master. And I choose to do that because I'd rather please God than man any day of the week. Come on, somebody. And He told them to sanctify yourself. And I could go down a list of things, and I could go through a whole smorgasbord of don'ts and do this and don't do that. I don't think that's the issue this evening. I could tell you to stay off your computer and cut your porn off. That may not be for nobody in the room. I have no idea. I could tell you to quit smoking Camels. That may not be for anybody in the room. I could tell you a whole list of things. But in your heart, God knows and you know whether you have been sanctified to the Lord God in your heart. When we think about sanctification or sanctify, we look at the word and it actually, in the very simplicity, in the simplest forms, it just simply means to set apart. Brother Jason, when God calls us, He picks us up out of the miry clay He redeems us. He saves us. He cleanses us. Somebody says, well, is sanctification an instantaneous work of grace? Church of God teaches that the sanctification is a separate work of grace. We use the terminology to be saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Assembly believes in a progressive sanctification. You know what I believe in? I believe in both. I believe there is a time in your life when your consciousness becomes aware of the deeds of your life. And my God, help me, Jesus, tonight, that you make up in your mind, that's a part of the old man. That's a part of who I used to be. I'm no longer that man. I've been cleansed. I've been sanctified. I've been set apart. I've been made usable for the Master. That is not me no more. That's the old man. That is not going to be in my life no more. That's coming from personal experience in my life. But God wants a sanctified people. He wants to sanctify you. God, the Bible says that God is a jealous God. How many of you know that? And when we get saved, we become God's property. I'll get into that at the end of the service. You're not your own. I'll get into that later. Again, when we think about the scripture where God is talking to the children of Israel, we see that where that God calls them and he says, sanctify yourselves. So there's things that you know you need to do, you're responsible for. Therefore, be ye holy. Again, 1 Peter talks about this as well. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And Peter actually is rendering here as well, because he says, for I am the Lord your God. Hey, let me tell you the difference right here. If you're saved this evening, you don't want just enough God. I said this Sunday, I'm going to say it again. You don't want just enough God to have a little bit of fire insurance to keep you out of hell. If you're really saved tonight and your heart's on fire for God, you want to do everything under the sun within your power to please your Heavenly Father. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by grace are you saved through faith. I understand that. I that's another message for another time. I'm not saved by works, but I work because I'm saved. It's not by works. It's by grace. Just straight grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am. But here's the thing. God says in his word, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, that God is coming back for a church. A church as Christ loved, as a husband is to love his wife. Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. The Bible says again in the book of Ephesians that he's coming back for a church without blemish. A church that's been washed, a church that's been cleansed. He said a church that's not without spot and without blemish or any such thing. Now, I know I'm a little churchy tonight and I'm a little preachy tonight, preaching a little holiness to us tonight. But here's the thing. This is how I feel, and I believe I'm right theologically when I say this. I don't want to get saved just to keep me out of hell. I want to be saved because I want a loving relationship with my Heavenly Father. As a man loves his wife, so Christ loved the church. I want to fall madly in love with Jesus. I want to walk with him every day. Through the garden. Oh, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And he walks with me and he talks with me. My friend, I want him to be with me all along the way. I don't want to just know him from a distance. I want to know him as the Song of Solomon says. And you're not going to like this, but it says it in the Song of Solomon that to kiss him with the kisses of his mouth, that's intimacy, my friend. That's intimacy. I want to know God, not from a distance, but I want to know him up close until the church is willing to be sanctified, set apart, until the church is willing to separate itself from the sins of this world, my friend. We will never see that intimacy restored in the church house again until the people again in the church house were always pointing at the world. No, my friend, it's in the church house. If there's anything, we always talk about the world. Oh, if the world could just love Jesus. If the world would just fall in love with Jesus. Oh, no, my friend. If the church would fall back in love with Jesus again, it would change the trajectory of everything that happens inside of this building, if you will. I need to slow down. My ribs are hurting. Steve Jones will be calling me and said, yeah, you done it. You done it. Steve has to help keep me in line physically. He's been calling me and telling me, you're going to blow a fuse. You're going to blow a fuse. This is only the second time I preached in a month, 2 weeks. Are you with me tonight? Is it making any sense? Oh, God. Lord, if we could just fall in love with you. Are you with me? Slip up your hand and say, Jesus, I just love you tonight. I just love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah to your name tonight, God. Oh, we love you tonight, oh God. We praise you. And see, my friend, tonight when we think about him, God is saying in his word that he's looking for sanctified people set apart. It means here again to set apart, watch this. It means to separate apart from evil things and evil ways. That goes over into not our deeds and the things that we do always, but it also has to do, God help me, help the preacher tonight. God help me put a check by my box. It has to do with my bad behavior. We'll speak in tongues and we'll treat one another like yesterday's junkyard dog. Come on, say amen right there. I felt that. Holiness and righteousness and sanctification has everything to do with how you talk to me. It has everything to do with how I talk to you. Not just on Sunday. If you're talking about the preacher behind his back and you're saying things that's not the truth, you need to get a check up from the neck up and sanctify your tongue. I ain't trying to be a smart aleck. I'm not trying to be nothing but what God's putting in my heart to do tonight. Don't have roast chicken on Sunday and have roast preacher on Monday. I walk in the flesh just like you do. I've never set my britches up in a corner and run and jumped in them in the mornings. You hurt me, I hurt just like you hurt. You struggle, I struggle. We got to have each other on the same team if we expect the church to grow. Well, that was free. That's not in my notes nowhere. The Bible says that God is looking. I got something in my eye. Excuse me, I'm trying to get it out. And the Bible says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Set apart God in your heart. For out of the heart comes the issues of life. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And everything that's in your heart will eventually work its way out your mouth. Those who are saved and who are called to bring life. Those who are saved and those who are called to bring life. A life of separation. A life that can be used unto God, one that can be used of God. And somebody said, well, I want God to use me. Let God sanctify you wholly, and God will. As we dedicate ourselves to Jesus, we're becoming more and more sanctified, but it starts through the obedience and the surrendering of one's heart to Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Romans chapter number 8 and verse 13, and she'll have to turn these. I just wrote the scripture down there for these this evening. I can turn there, Kathy, real fast. Romans 8 and 13. This is what it says in the Word. And he says this For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Again, that is a lot of stuff. If I had time, I was going to get into that this past Sunday. The Bible just basically says this in Romans 8. You can go back and read it. That if you're in the flesh and not in the Spirit, that the flesh is an enemy of the Spirit. And God has not called us to live by the power of the flesh, but God has called you and I to live by the power of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The only way that you and I do not fulfill the lust of the flesh is we need to go back to the fountain one more time. We need to go back and we need to get under the fountain that's been dipped with blood. We need God to sanctify us. We need God to wash us. We need God to cleanse us. We need God to do a work in our lives. As the book of James says again, he says to cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Again, Ephesians 6 and 13, the Bible talks about this, and he tells us how that we are truly sanctified. It's by the Spirit. The Spirit is the agent, the sanctifier. Again, Ephesians 6 and 13, he talks about this in the Word. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, he says to stand. Strengthened by the power of the Holy Ghost to the inner man. Your outwardness, if you will, if you look at the outwardness of an individual, too many times it tells us about what is going on the inside. When we think about this, we think about simply how the Bible again reiterates, and the Bible reminds us in Psalm 34, looking in verses 14 and 15. So we see in the Scripture, Psalm 34, 14 and 15, depart from evil and do good. Read that with me. Depart from evil and do good. God says, get away from evil. I'm talking to the church. Evil thoughts, evil actions, evil deeds, things that ought not be named among us, foolish talking, as far as what the Scripture says. And Paul was telling young Timothy that these things will be happening in the last days. Foolish jesting, the Bible talks about. Yeah, he says in the Word, in this, seek peace and pursue it. That's what a sanctified person does, seeks peace and pursues it. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. When we look in the Scripture again, when we talk about a sanctified people, a sanctified church, and may I reiterate and may I remind us again where my position is this. My position is not one of being holier than thou or one that I'm any better than anybody else, because I'm no better than nobody else, but I choose to live a life separated unto God. And oftentimes in the world, it is a reflection of everything that they would like to be, but they're not willing to become what they know you are. I don't know how you feel tonight, but I don't want to live for this world. I don't want to dabble in sin. I don't want to dabble in witchcraft. I don't want to dabble in wizardry, if you will. I don't want to dabble in the things of the world. I don't want to smoke pot. I don't want to drink Jack Daniels. I don't want to drink Budweiser. I don't want to do anything like that is contrary to the Scripture. And we have these sorry little things going on today. Well, you can drink a little bit. The Bible says not to be drunk. Well, why do you want to do it to begin with? Amen. Jesus. I'm going to quit right there. I could get myself in so much trouble right now. I got one little youngin' in here, and I don't want to say nothing out of the way. Lord Jesus, help me. I don't want to say what is on my mind. I don't want to say it at all. But having sex one time a month as an unmarried person You're a fornicator. And here's the deal. You say, well, I just do it one time a month. Does that disqualify me for heaven? The Bible said that they're not going to heaven. A fornicator ain't going to go there. And people that commit adultery is not going to go there. That's Bible. That's not Alan Greenism. So does that mean a little bit of sin is okay? As long as I don't do it very often, I don't indulge? It might be tight tonight, but it's right. It's just your pastor. Somebody says, our pastor don't even believe in holiness anymore. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. More so than you even would imagine. I'm not talking about dogmatic stuff. I'm not talking about tradition. I'm not talking about things that we do just for tradition's sake. You work out your own tradition the way you want to work it out. Don't make somebody else's tradition your law that you have to be in a box. And somebody, I heard a story one time, and I'll quit meddling here in a minute. Heard a story one time, Brother Dodge, you probably heard this. Years ago, this mother was teaching her daughter how to cook. She's cooking a ham. They was in the kitchen, and the mother was preparing this ham. She got her knife out, got a saw off, cut the end of the shank off, and put the ham in the pot. So the daughter was learning. You take the ham, you prep the ham, you get the saw, you get the knife, you cut the end of the shank off and put it in the pot. The grandmother came there in a few minutes and said, "Grandmother, we don't know why, but why did you... We done it just like you did it. We done it just the way we were taught to do it, but we don't know why. Why did you take your knife and cut the shank off the end of the ham?" And they said, "Well, I don't know why you did it, but I know why I did it, because my pot was too short and the ham wouldn't fit in the pot." A lot of times I've been there, folks. I've lived it. A lot of times we've tried to pass down tradition for tradition's sake that don't even make sense. But we tell people to do it. I was told more about what I could not do when I got into church than what I ever could ever do. I mean, we were told you don't smoke and you don't chew and you don't run with those who do. We were told spit white, it's right. You know, we were told these things. And it got ingrained in my spirit. But see, I didn't know it until I got under conviction of my own and God began to deal with me about me. Is it okay if I preach another minute or two? So God's wanting a sanctified people. God wants a set apart people. Now I'm getting ready to ring your bell here for a minute. Look at your neighbor, and I want you to look them square in the eyeball if you got a neighbor, and you tell them you are so special in God's eyes. I'll tell Sister West, you are so special in God's eyes. Now let me prove that to you. And I know that God is talking about this with his people Israel, but he's also those that are his, those that are saved and those that are born again, those that are his, those that are set apart, those that can claim him as their own. 1 Peter chapter 2, you know the scripture as well as I do. 1 Peter chapter number 2, and I don't have time to exegete and tear it apart this evening, but I would love to do that sometime. Verse number 9 says this, when you open it up, 9 and 10, he says this in verse 9. He says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." That don't mean weird or strange. Now, I would doubt that with a lot of people, but that's not what it means right here. I mean, I know in the Church of God, and I can't talk about the assembly or PH, but Church of God, I've seen it. I've seen a lot of stuff. I've seen the weird things, and I've seen the crazy things, and I've seen a whole lot of stuff, you know, in my days. It don't mean you're strange and weird. That's not what it talks about. You know what it means? It means that you're God's people, chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, a peculiar people. What does that mean? He says in the Word, it talks about being a set apart people. And it teaches us that you're God's possession, you're God's very own possession. Think about that. You are God's very own possession. When we look here in the scripture, we see this, and we see that where the Bible says that you're chosen, you're His. And then we see here in the Word where it talks about being a consecrated nation. It talks about this Word, and He says, you're a special people. To God, you are special. Antioch was one of those places that the church was first mentioned. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When you look at the word ekklesia in the Greek, the church, what does it mean? The called out ones. So we're called out. 1 Peter chapter 3. Again, when you look at this, and I'm going to turn there because I'm not going to read all of that. 1 Peter chapter number 3. When you look at this in the scripture, verse number 8, he opens it up again when you begin to look at this. Let me get my place. Finally, be you of one mind, having compassion one to another. Love the brethren. Be pitiful and be courteous. In verse 9 he says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. And then he teaches us all the way down through verse number 15, but watch verse number 12. He says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. Now watch this. Alan didn't write this. He says, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. That ought to be enough right there for you and I to sanctify ourselves. So we're a special people. 1 John, really, really fast. I've got to hurry. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. I know that you know the scripture as well as I do. He says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. He said, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Look forward with me real fast. He says in 18, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there are many antichrists, whereby you know that it is in the last time. Let me move forward with that really, really quick, because I wrote down the wrong scripture most likely on that one. Watch this. And the spirit of antichrist is here, but that's not really what I was wanting to do. 1 John, where are we at? 2? I got ahead of myself. Verse 15, Kathy. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. The cosmos. Hey, how many of you know this is not your home? We're passing through. We're pilgrims. We're just here for a season. Life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and it's gone. Sometimes we are so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. But let's flip the script. Let us get so heavenly minded that we're actually not settling ourselves. I ain't going to say you're no earthly good, but we're not settling on the things of the world, but we've got our mind on a higher calling. Love not the world. Don't set your affections on things beneath. Set your affections on things above. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Matthew says that again, when you think about the book of Matthew actually says that you cannot love the world and God at the same time. One or the other is going to get your affection. One or the other is going to get your attention. One or the other is going to get your heart. You're either going to love God or you're going to love the world. In our text, you don't need to turn there right now. But this is why God said, hey, that's why God said, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Sanctify yourself. And He says in the scripture, Penny, you can come. He says in the scripture that you're either going to do one of the two. I don't believe He was just talking to the unredeemed here. He was telling the church, love not the world. Don't set your affection so much on this world. Do you know that the unconverted mind cannot, Robert, grasp that? They can't grasp why we talk about Jesus. They can't grasp Sister Betty, when we tell them this world is not our home, they can't grasp why we're not building bigger barns and why we're not laying up things in store here upon this earth. This earth is not my home. Hey, old Job, wasn't it Job that said, naked came I from my mother's womb and naked I shall go. From dust I came and from dust I will return. And people spend all their lives trying to get more and more and more and more and more. And they neglect God. And they don't spend time with God. They don't love God because they love the world more than they love God. The Bible says if any man love the world, he says the love of the Father is not in him. So God calls you a special people. Hey, the last thing, real quick. He says this in the scripture when you begin to look at that. He says, love not the world. If any man love the world, look at verse 16. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. The pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I want eternal life more than I'm worried about what's going on here. Can I get a witness in the house? Hey, let me share this with you. Not only is he looking for a sanctified people, he's looking for a special people. He has a standard for his people. Again, I mentioned this in Matthew chapter 6 and 24, where the Bible says that he has called us out. God's told us to love him more than we love the world. And the last thing is simply this. And this is the whole thing right here in a nutshell. So not only is God looking for a set apart people, a sanctified people, a special people, and God has a standard for his people. But God, again, the last thing here is mentioned in the book of Corinthians. I'll just pretty much just scan through it really, 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 really fast. He says here in 2 Corinthians, actually it's where it's at. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, a couple of verses of scripture. And this is one of those scriptures that you'd have to go back and look at again. The Bible has referenced this as having no fellowship, no communion with the unrighteous works of darkness. What communion do you and I have as children of light with darkness? And I'm thinking, well, I'm talking to the mature saints of God in this room. This don't even make sense to preach this to them tonight. But God says to the church not to have anything to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. If I had to wager, and I'm not a betting person, you know what I'm saying? That's the only way I know how to say that. I dare say that on any given Sunday morning in any given church of America, that there's people sitting there that's dabbling in sin. Why? Because that's human nature. It's human nature. You say, well, not me. I didn't say you. I said at any given church in the churches of America across the board that there's people sitting in. But you say, well, that's what Jesus came for. Jesus came to save sinners. Yes, he did. But God says once you have been saved, you no longer participate in sin. You get yourself away from it. You cleanse your hands. You straighten your life up. God straightens your life up. You separate yourself. And then we see here in the scripture, we're going to go on into Corinthians really, really quick, because I wanted to get to these because of what it simply says. He says, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? This again is in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 15 says, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, which is idol worship? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and you shall be my people. That's God's plan for you. That's God's plan for me. To separate yourself from the things of the world. And God says, I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. And I want you to talk with me. If I had time, I'd go back to the beginning in Genesis. That's what happened. God came down to cool the day. Adam and Eve sinned. They separated themselves from God. They found themselves in trouble. They hid themselves. God came. Adam, where you at? I'm hiding in the bushes. Who told you? You was naked. That serpent. That woman. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the woman. Eve blamed the snake. It's so easy to become narcissistic in our sins because we want to blame our sins on somebody else. You'll never get delivered from sin until you take ownership to your sin and you get delivered for yourself. Verse 17 says, come out from among them. Who? The heathens, the infidels. That's what he mentions, those idol worshipers. And be ye separate. Separate yourself. In the world, but not of the world. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He said, wherefore come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not. In other words, don't participate in other men's sins. I didn't say it. He says right there in the Word, if we believe the King James Version, it's right there in the King James. He says again, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. In other words, do not become entangled again in the things that God has delivered you out of. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord. Now, Lord Almighty, now it would be very easily to stop at the end of that chapter. Notice men put chapters and verses and numbers, but look at the next verse in chapter 7 and 1, because this is what he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Your sins don't just affect your flesh, it affects your spirit. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Be ye holy, for I am holy. First Peter declares that. And without holiness, no man shall see God. Father, I love you tonight. Lord, I've done exactly what I felt in my heart I was to do tonight. Lord, I'm not looking for the accolades of humanity and the applaud of man. But God, I'm looking for you to hear you say to me, well done. And God, I am persuaded even tonight that there are people that's listened to this message either online or in this room that God needs an old-fashioned sanctifying. That God, that we need to sanctify the Lord God in our heart. Lord, we need to get rid of the gray. There's too many gray areas in the lives of the Christians today. There seems to be no clarity. There seems to be no positives and no directiveness in our churches and in our lives today between right and wrong and good and evil. And Lord, we want everything to be user-friendly, seeker-sensitive. But God, I come to you tonight, God, to be seeker-sensitive of the Holy Ghost. And God, I want you to be pleased with everything that we do in this room and everything we do in this church. And Father, I pray, God, even right now for those that was unable to be here, that God, that there would be a spiritual hunger happen in this room, happen in this church. That God, that we will become more hungry than we've ever been in all of our days. And Father, I pray, God, that you'd help us. I pray, God, right now that you would minister in this room. And Father, I pray for my own life tonight, God, to become more of what you would have it to be. Not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. And Father, you teach us in your word to sanctify the Lord God in our heart. And Lord, to seek you first, to please you, to honor you, to glorify you and to magnify you. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor. And God, it is not my heart to be in any way, shape, form, or fashion to try to project myself as being cleaner than anybody else or to be more holy than anybody else. But God, I do seek your holiness tonight, God, in my own walk with you. To be more holy today than we've ever been in all of our days. And God, I know it's not me that do it. I don't do it, God. It's you. And God, I want you to eradicate my life of any sin or anything that may be there that would keep me from living in true holiness and anything that would keep me from being prepared to meet you, because I know you're coming again. And Father, I thank you, God. I thank you, Father. Every head is bowing, every eye closed. One simple question tonight. If this message helped anybody in the room, and you, I'm not calling you up, we're not coming up here right now, but you want God to do something on the inside of you and in your heart tonight to sanctify you even more unto God, just slip your hand up really quick and put it right back down. Anyone else? I'm going to tell you the answer. I'm going to tell the answer. Get in love with Him. Bottom line, get in love with Him. How do you know that, Pastor? Because I know what the Bible says. And the Bible says if you'll draw nigh to God, that God will draw nigh to you. And that just simply means if you'll take a step towards God, that God will take a step towards you. And when you and God finally come together in the middle, it's going to be an awesome reunion. Let's stand together. Father, we love you tonight. And I thank you, God, for the sanctifying power of the Holy Ghost. Sanctify us, God. Sanctify your people. Sanctify the church. Set the church apart. God, that we would be pleasing unto you in all that we endeavor to do. That, God, that your Holy Spirit would be able to come into this place in waves of glory. And, God, you would take us to the place in you that you want us to go. And Father, we thank you, God, in advance for what you're doing and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Shake.